Chapter 10, Thinking Outside the Bottle. A Focus on Sales. As the company's forward momentum continued in the late 1980s and early 1990s, Bob and Roger articulated some philosophical guidelines, approaches they had learned from experience and inherited from the work ethic and personal character of their parents. Listen to the consumer was an early lesson, as was the belief that the winery existed for the family, not the family for the winery. They were also clear about intending with every product to produce wines that over-deliver for the price. Another key part of their guiding philosophy was, don't take a step longer than your stride. This kept the Trinqueros thinking carefully about how, where, and when to innovate and expand. For the Trinqueros, the first half of the 1980s was focused on satisfying the demand for white Zinfandel. Eventually, they got their internal sales force up and running, filled distribution channels, and tapped new sales venues. By the late 1980s, sales and marketing challenges became the focus. As a leading national brand, the winery was penetrating new venues of sale, such as hotels, chain restaurants, and importantly, supermarkets, which had begun to dramatically increase their wine offerings. Stores sometimes built whole sections devoted to wine. To better understand how these outlets impacted sales, and in keeping with their determination to listen to the consumer, the Trinqueros conducted market and demographic research of Americans' attitudes and concerns about wine. Packaging innovations. One market research discovery was that a majority of adults lived alone or in non-traditional households, and they hesitated to buy wine for fear of the unused portion going bad. Reinforcing this reticence was a new mood of moderation that took root in the late 1980s. At that time, First Lady Nancy Reagan's Just Say No anti-drug campaign was having ripple effects that impacted wine consumption, leading to what industry insiders termed a neo-prohibition movement. Special interest groups such as the Center for Science and the Public Interest and the National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependence published research on the devastating effects of alcoholism, and they monitored the marketing efforts of alcohol companies. Meanwhile, Mothers Against Drunk Driving successfully campaigned to raise the minimum age for purchasing alcohol. In 1988, Congress passed the Alcohol Beverage Labeling Act, requiring wine producers to include health warnings on their labels. To appeal to those consumers reluctant to purchase and consume a 750-milliliter bottle of premium wine, Roger Trinquero proposed offering Sutter Home varietal wines in an upscale, single-serve package. In other words, tiny bottles in the traditional Bordeaux and Burgundy shapes. At that time, 187-milliliter single-serve wines were found only on airlines, and they were packaged in ugly, squat, plastic shield bottles called grenades. Sutter Home's glass manufacturer was reluctant to invest in a new mold without the commitment of a large order of the new size bottles. So, Sutter Home committed to a run of 250,000 cases, and the company introduced 187-milliliter bottles of white Zinfandel, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Sauvignon Blanc, with Chardonnay, Merlot, Zinfandel, and Chenin Blanc not far behind. Success was immediate, especially in restaurants where these classic singles, as the winery dubbed them, provided a fresh premium alternative to generic house wines. Diners could pour their own glass from an attractive little bottle they enjoyed handling. Sutter Home's competitors quickly followed suit, and soon whole single-serve sections became common in wine shops and liquor stores. By the early 1990s, Sutter Home had packaged the small bottles into four-pack carriers and were selling more than 1 million cases a year. We're not afraid to risk new things if we think the consumer is ready for them, says Roger. As a family organization, we have the flexibility to say, okay, this worked, or okay, this wasn't successful enough, and pull back. A heading from one of the Sutter Home consumer newsletters at the time captures the freedom of this attitude. The winery had tried launching a new Sutter Home Vineyards label, but customers didn't go for it. The matter-of-fact heading reads, "Good idea, didn't work." Sutter Home also briefly entered the food business with a range of wine-flavored pasta sauces, but they pulled back to maintain their focus on wine. Other ventures were simply ahead of their time. When distributors began requesting Sutter Home wines in 1.5-liter magnums, the Trinqueros agreed, but with a twist. Their magnum varietal wines would be sealed not with a cork, but with a proprietary screw cap closure. The move seemed logical. For one, the popular single-serving 187-milliliter bottles were sealed with aluminum Stelvin screw caps from the French company Pacini. European research had concluded that screw caps provided a good or better seal for wine bottles than corks, which could split, crumble, crack, and carry mold. Cases of so-called cork taint were on the rise in the late 1980s and early 1990s, the result of accelerated demand for cork and the concomitant premature harvesting in European cork forests. Furthermore, the Trinqueros understood that many American households didn't keep corkscrews on hand and that extracting a cork can be an intimidating process. They also reasoned that magnums offered benefits to restaurateurs by saving them time, simplifying inventory control, and providing high-quality premium wine in an economic, convenient package. Stelvin developed a proprietary closure called VinLock, which consisted of the Stelvin aluminum screw cap plus a special seal that eliminated the possibility of leakage. Unfortunately, the association of corks with high quality and screw caps with downscale wine was too strong to be overcome. Consumers didn't go for it, and Costco, now the nation's number one wine retailer, refused to carry the wine closed with screw caps. The family listened to their customers and went back to corks. Since then, however, their initial instincts have borne out. Today, many wines, especially white wines, are closed with screw caps, and the increasing level of imported wines from regions that favor screw caps has helped the American public get used to the idea. Build a Better Burger and Other Marketing Innovations. The Sutter Home brand had always championed approachable cuisine. Their consumer newsletter, an informative, sometimes irreverent publication, complete with commentary on wine legislation, updates on new vintages, and cartoons by Bobby Torres, regularly included suggestions for how to enjoy wine with foods that people eat on a daily basis, like potato chips. One edition even printed the results of a tasting room staff survey conducted to determine which Sutter Home varietal tasted best with peanut butter, white Zinfandel, and which with popcorn, Chardonnay. When supermarkets like Safeway, Lucky, and Kroger began to feature larger wine selections, the Sutter Home inclination to pair wines with approachable foods made the brand a natural fit for shoppers. But research indicated that only 10% of supermarket shoppers passed through the wine section. If larger wineries wanted to take full advantage of supermarket sales opportunities, they needed to break out of the wine section by gaining displays in other departments: meat, produce, frozen foods, and the deli. Sutter Home's head of sales, Jim Miller, had hired a marketing director named Alex Morgan to tackle brand-building programs. One of Morgan's first goals was to persuade store managers that Sutter Home could help them sell more of their stock products. To do so, Morgan's nascent marketing department devised colorful point-of-sale materials, mass display pieces, case cards, wine racks, and tags that hung around bottlenecks, called bottleneckers, that depicted Sutter Home wines accompanying appetizing meals and featured items from other departments. The message was that wine could be enjoyed with everyday food, like chicken, spaghetti, pizza, and hamburgers. The cross-selling concept led to Morgan's crowning achievement, the Build a Better Burger marketing program, which is still in full swing nearly 30 years later. This national recipe contest initially offered $10,000 as a grand prize to the backyard chef who concocted the most creative and appetizing burger. Build a Better Burger was a category-defining innovation, says Dave Derby, the current senior vice president of marketing. And it accomplished a great deal then and continues to do so to this day. It attracts a large number of consumers hoping to construct the winning burger and win $10,000. It helps our retail partners sell more wine and other products as home chefs spend the summer working on their recipes and buying more key ingredients in the process. It stimulates wine sales between Memorial Day and Labor Day, a slow season for the industry. And it firmly ties the Sutter Home brand to America's favorite sandwich, a far cry from elitist images of wine. From the start, the results were stupendous. Distributors erected snazzy Build a Better Burger displays in supermarkets throughout the United States, stimulating thousands of contest entries and widespread coverage by local and national food media. Most important, the winery sold thousands of cases of wine it would not otherwise have sold. Over the years, Build a Better Burger co-sponsors have included Kraft, Del Monte, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, Tabasco, the California Avocado Commission, and the U.S. Potato Board, the ultimate in high-level cross-promotional activity. How many wineries would have done a Build a Better Burger contest with the same sense of fun as the Trinqueros? Wine columnist Dan Berger mused, more than a decade after the promotion launched. I'm not suggesting they couldn't do it, but it's unlikely they would, because there's no particular down-home sense of fun, enjoyment, whatever you want to call it, at those wineries, as there is with the Trinqueros. Sutter Home has done it with a great degree of poise and class, with fun being the dominant factor. Alex and his strategies helped us learn that we needed to market our wines like other consumer products, says Roger, and to become better partners with the people selling our wines. The company also made significant investments in trade marketing, with the 1992 launch of an extensive educational program. Developed by Barry Wiss, Vice President of Trade Relations, Vine to Dine remains one of the industry's leading wine and food programs, offering the company's trade partners a series of intimate wine tastings, food and wine pairings, and hands-on exposure to grape growing and winemaking techniques. Room to grow. By the early 1990s, the Trinqueros had already outgrown their Zinfandel Ranch winemaking facility, less than a decade after it was built. They found the perfect place to expand, right across Highway 29 from Sutter Home, the former Christian Brothers and Hugh Blaine facility. The facility offered a much larger winery, an office complex, 35 acres of vineyard, and a water recycling system that used wastewater generated from production to irrigate the grounds, gardens, and vineyards. The family named the new winery Main Street. Passersby, peeking over a large stone wall, got only a glimpse of lovely landscaped grounds. But just beyond that view lay an industrial setting with security shacks, concrete parking lots, windowless warehouses, and towering stainless steel tanks, some holding up to 200,000 gallons or 1 million bottles of wine. Under Jim Hunsinger, now heading up all production, the company took new measures to maximize efficiency, conserve energy, and protect the environment by investing in state-of-the-art processing equipment, complex filtration systems, innovative lab technologies, and further acceleration of the high-speed bottling lines. Around this time, the Trinqueros also acquired land to build a new production facility in the Central Valley town of Lodi, which was closer to vineyards and large-scale growers in the Sacramento Valley and the Sierra foothills. In addition, they expanded their existing cooperage, bottling, and shipping facility in the city of American Canyon in the southern part of Napa County. Finally, a new tasting room adjacent to the Victorian mansion on the original Sutter home property in St. Helena welcomed visitors and spotlighted the winery's history. Evelyn Trinquero, a talented decorator who had already restored the chalet to its glory days, extended the design to the new tasting room and the accompanying Victorian gardens. Ahead of the curve. In the early days of the California wine industry, vintners took their packaging cues from the old world, bottling their wines in traditional green glass. Sutter Home initially followed suit, but the Trinquero family debated the merits of green glass versus flint, clear glass, for its white Zinfandel. In the end, the decision was clear, literally. The Trinqueros wanted their customers to see the pink color of the wine, so they bottled it in flint. Today, flint remains the gold standard in packaging for rosé wines. Later, the family introduced the first pressure-sensitive labels, which were widely emulated throughout the wine industry. In 1989, Sutter Home became the first winery to offer single-serving wines, incorporating the traditional Bordeaux and Burgundy bottle shapes into a convenient 187-milliliter bottle. The novel format was met with immediate success. Several wineries quickly adopted the format, and single-serve sections became popular in wine shops. In the early 1990s, the Trinqueros took the innovation a step further, with clever four-pack carriers featuring captivating package designs. Today, Sutter Home is the top brand in the 187-milliliter category, accounting for nearly half of the sales in that category.